morning, everybody. It is 9:30 and we are ready to start our next episode of Coffee with Susie. Today, I have some repeated guests with me today, Dr. Joanna Lewis and Dr. Christina Madison. I'm very excited to have them both back today to talk about well-being. And I think this is a topic that we are going to continue the discussion on for all of 2022. I wanted to just start out by giving some statistics. And I was recently looking up at Gallup's State of the Global Workplace report that came out in 2021. And it found that about 46% of working women reported stress a lot of the day yesterday. So almost a half of women were very stressed. And meaning that, you know, well-being is really declining among employed women, whether or not they have children. And it's really a lot more of, it's declining faster than it is among working men. The report actually categorized well-being into five different types with it, which I thought was really helpful. So they looked at five elements of well-being, one being career well-being, and the second being social well-being. You know, do you have meaningful friendships in your life and what those friendships look like? Career well-being is just basically what you do every day. Financial well-being was the third, and how well you manage your money. If you're stressed, are you living paycheck to paycheck? Do you know how to save? Do you have a savings? All of that came into play with financial well-being. The fourth was physical well-being. So, and not really just exercise, but really related to just having the energy to get things done, because many people just complain of, you know, they wake up and they're already tired and they can't get anything done. They know they have so much to do, but they don't even know where to start. And that's really related to the physical well-being. And finally, the fifth one was community well-being. And that's related to where you live. And if you like where you live, who your neighbors might be, who your tribe is locally. And all five of those were kind of put together in each of those elements to determine well-being. And they showed that career well-being actually had the greatest impact on a life well lived. And again, what you do every day. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a job per se, but it's really what you're doing. And unfortunately, when stress has driven many women out of the workforce, career well-being is definitely the first element to suffer. So I'm going to stop there and welcome my experts, because I think they will have a lot to say and a lot to add on this topic. And welcome. Thank you. I don't know if you each want to just kind of shortly introduce yourselves to the group in case they didn't get your introduction or they don't know who you are, which I don't think is possible, but, you know, maybe go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Great. Okay. So hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Christina Madison, and I have a public health consulting firm called the Public Health Pharmacist. So I am definitely well-versed in all things wellness and prevention and community health, and just really trying to make sure that, you know, not only are you healthy and well, but your community is healthy and well. And so I think that's kind of the difference between public health and chronic disease management, is that it's all about the health of the many versus the health of the one. And so obviously I'm on a one-woman mission to spread the word about why public health matters, and I'm very excited to join Susie today and Joanna, who I also am a big fan of the Pharmacist Guy.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Joanna Lewis. I have the social media platform and blog, The Pharmacist Guide, where I really talk a lot about wellness, stress management from a pharmacist perspective, and also as a perspective of someone who's been there. And I'm really excited about our topics today, Susie. I think these are very relevant. I think even I was writing an article yesterday, and I was kind of picking up an article I had started before the pandemic, and even the burnout statistics pre-pandemic were just so high. And I really think, you know, this is a relevant something we need to be talking about.
Definitely. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, so where do we start, I guess, really? You know, if you're a pharmacist and you're feeling the stress now more than ever, where do you start? What do you do? You know, do you have recommendations for someone facing that? And I like those five buckets, because I often do think that you might be really satisfied in your career, but then maybe something's happening, you know, in your social life, or financially. So there might be different things going on. So how do you prioritize? Where do you start if you are feeling, you know, off balance or just, you know, uneasy?
I was just going to say, that's a good point too, because I feel like that was my whole month of March in many ways. If one of our, I guess we could say wellness pillars or wellness buckets is off, it's usually not too hard to like course correct and get back on track. But when, you know, three or four, you know, we have, you know, a big project at work, you know, or we're having career stress, we're having family stress, like you said, with our community, maybe something's going on with a mom group that I really am finding like it's challenging, right? You know, like the older you get, the harder it is for you kind of to integrate into new relationships. And if you're navigating all of that at once, it's, I think, a lot harder to figure out like, where do I start than if you maybe start with, to me, the foundational habits are what we talked about, like with physical well-being, you know, movement, nutrition, and sleep. If I can kind of get those in a good place, it gives me the wherewithal and the platform to work on my mental health and put, like you said, put the energy into my career, be there present, be present for my family. And go ahead, Christina.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with Joanna's sentiment about, you know, if maybe one pillar is off, it may be a little less challenging to fix. But if you've got multiple things that are kind of going out of control, which, by the way, it's been a pandemic, so I'm pretty sure a lot of us have had all of those be out of whack at some point in time. I would say the biggest thing as far as a way to kind of reset is to think about what grounds you. So like, what's your why? Carving out time for yourself. So, you know, we're all hyper scheduled and, you know, have kid activities if we're moms, you know, there's all kinds of things. You know, I started doing meal prep, which has been super helpful. So like, not only am I eating more nutritiously because I'm cooking at home, but it's also less stressful because we're not like, you know, at the end of the day, trying to figure out what we're gonna eat and what we're gonna have for dinner, because like there's already pre-prepared meals in the refrigerator ready to go and we can just pop them into the microwave. And so, you know, little things like that to try to help streamline or automate parts of your life, you know, putting things in your calendar, which includes time for you, right? So like schedule that you time, because I think a lot of times we say, oh, we're gonna take time for ourselves, but then we don't, right? Because it's not there because we don't prioritize it. So put it in the calendar, write it down, make it a priority for you to have uninterrupted alone time so that you can reset and refocus on things that are important to you. And the other thing too is that I also want to just point out, you know, focusing on your own health, like not just your mental health, but your overall health and wellness. I think in general, we assume that we're going to wake up in health, and there's a lot of us that may not. We may struggle with chronic illness. We may struggle with, you know, fatigue. You know, Susie, I've seen you put a bunch of stuff up about, you know, iron deficiencies and vitamin D deficiencies. It's something that I've struggled with personally. And so just making sure that you're taking time for yourself so that you're not becoming sick or ill is also extremely important. And I always say, you know, if your cup is not full, you can't fill anyone else's cup up. And exactly. So you have to make sure that you are taking time for you and making sure that you are healthy and well, because you're not going to be able to take care of anybody else. And unfortunately, as women, we tend to be caregivers. And I think that we want to take care of everyone else before we take care of ourselves. But we really need to think about prioritizing our health and wellness and our well-being before we can really help others.
I agree. And I think we have to do it, because I think that a lot of times, I know even for myself, I'll put in, okay, you need to meditate today, or you need to do this, but then I don't do it, because then what happens is my son will just walk in the room and then I'm like, mom, I need this, or you know, can you get this? Or I have to go here and can you drive me here? And then I don't do it. So I think the other part of it is that many women struggle with is that we say we're going to wake up and we might need to exercise or we're going to go do this, but then something else comes in our way. And I know even from with working from home, it's a curse and a blessing because sometimes I work from home and I'm able to actually get all my work done. And other times I'll look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, they left the Uno cards on the floor. I gotta go pick those up right now. I gotta go do this. I gotta go do that, you know, and there's just little things that will, you know, my brain just starts working. So I think, you know, you make a great point. We have to do it, you know, and, or, you know, plan for it, but then actually follow through and get it done. And I know for myself the other day, you know, my kids were doing their homework and usually I'm like right near them, like, oh, do you need help? Do you need this? And I'm like, you know what, right now I'm actually going to go for 5 minutes and just like sit by myself. And I did it. And then I came back and they were still in the same spot. It wasn't like anything changed, but prior to that, I probably would have never done that before. And I would have just been overwhelmed and feeling stressed. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to help everyone? And I'm like, no, let me go breathe and then come back to the room and then, you know, get ready to tackle all, you know, all this algebra two and whatever other things I have to bring back to my brain. So it's interesting. The other thing that I wanted to also mention that you mentioned is that, you know, feeling included and making friends in the community aspect, because I think many of us, especially if you've moved, I know even for myself, moving is difficult and I didn't realize how difficult it was until I actually moved. And I think many of us don't live in the city that we grew up in and, you know, have the same friends from high school or college or pharmacy school. And I think finding those friends can be hard, and finding that tribe can impact your wellness because you're trying to find someone who can help with your kids and all of that. Do you have suggestions as to, you know, if you have moved or finding, you know, a new group or fitting in? I've even seen posts on the Pharmacist Moms group, you know, where a lot of the women are excluded, you know, well, I'm not a housewife and I'm not home with my kids and the moms are going out to eat for lunch and I'm at the pharmacy. So, you know, what do you do in those circumstances?
So I think this is a very good topic, especially for this forum. And I will say this is kind of like zoomed my January and my February because we moved very end of 2017. So we moved here the month before my son was born. And so, you know, the first year you're kind of in your hole with your baby. And right when he turned two, I remember thinking like, okay, I'm ready to like, kind of start like join the tennis team, start meeting people and having people over, and then the pandemic hit. So I feel like right now it's almost like this sounds silly, but almost like you're dating in a way. Like I'm trying to meet all these people, you know, go for walks, and you still, you know, how you kind of have to like tread softly at the beginning and really get to know people. And I think we've also in the pandemic become a lot more introverted, and it's almost like I just feel like I'm retraining myself. But I will say when I have those moments, it is so, I feel so refreshed. And I think getting out the door is hard because, you know, you're like, oh, I just want to stay home. I want to cancel. Can we just, you know, I have other things to do. But every single time has been so worth the energy and investment I've put into those relationships.
No, that's great. That's great advice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's been articles written recently about, in particular, men over 30 having a really hard time having the ability to form new relationships and to have new friends. And so it's like if they don't have those friends that they had either, you know, like primary school or college, and then they like move or they go somewhere else, it's like really hard to get that new social circle. And so my husband in particular has really had challenges with that because he is the at-home dad. He's a full-time dad and I'm the one who's working. And so he's with all these other ladies and, you know, at the school and, you know, picking up our kids, and it's like, there's no male interaction. And so it's something that we've really had to work at. And so, you know, we have really been very mindful about going out with other couples and trying to like make sure that we're continuing to foster those relationships. I'm lucky because we still live in the town where I am from and grew up in. So I live in Las Vegas and I grew up here. So I have a large circle of friends. However, I will say the pandemic, I have people that I don't hang out with anymore because during the pandemic, I realized that they weren't taking safety precautions. And so, you know, we just sort of drifted apart, but there is this like sort of core group of people that we hang out with on a more regular basis. And they're all like entrepreneurs, they own their own businesses. You know, they're, so I think I saw a quote the other day, you are what you listen to and who you surround yourself with. And I really truly feel that that is true. And it's like, you have to be very careful about who you surround yourself with and who you're listening to, because if you have a bunch of people telling you, oh, you can't, or, oh, you shouldn't, it dampens your shine, and you shouldn't be around those people. You should be around people who uplift you, people who want you to succeed, who want to pull you up, who, even when you're not in the room, advocate for you. You know, those are the kinds of people that you want in your space. And so I've just been really intentional about that. And then also for my husband, making sure that he feels affirmed and he feels that he's being supported as well. We have an age difference. He's 5 years younger. And so there are things that he is interested in that I am not interested in, but I still try to support him whenever possible. And so I would say, you know, women's groups, I am part of my women's chamber, and I do a lot of work within the community. And so there's a fair amount of people who work in the nonprofit space that we all kind of know each other. And so I would say starting there and starting from that place of service really does help, or even just being active in faith-based organizations is really helpful for having some of those more meaningful relationships.
Definitely. I think all of those are some, you know, you gave out some really good advice. The other thing though, that healthcare professionals are a little bit different than others, you know, than the general population. And I want to touch on this study that was published in, I think it was the Journal of Internal Medicine or General Internal Medicine, something like that. But they surveyed healthcare providers who were suffering from burnout. And, you know, and what they found was that self-care really isn't just the cure for it, that there's a lot more. And the reason is that healthcare workers are suffering from burnout and they're less likely to receive any type of psychiatric care. They do not want counseling. They do not want medications. They feel like there's barriers for them to access it. They don't want to admit, you know, I'm Dr. such and such, and I have a problem, you know, I'm depressed or I'm anxious. And we know anxiety runs very high in the pharmacy community. And, you know, most pharmacists do have, a lot of them suffer from anxiety, but there are those barriers or the stigma to actually admitting that you have it. And the heroic healthcare worker, you know, I'm not going to admit that I have this. So what can we do for our colleagues, for each other, to really feel that, you know, it's okay, or we can get treatment, we're not alone, you know, out there. And I, what can we do as a profession really to help one another in this space? Because this is something that a lot of pharmacists are suffering from, and they a lot of them suffer in silence.
I think the biggest thing is talking about our own struggles, right? So like, I'll be first to admit that, you know, the birth of both of my children, I'm almost positive that I suffered from postpartum depression and just may have been undiagnosed, but like there are whole parts of time that I don't remember of my children, like when they were infants, because I just was like getting through. And, you know, even now, like with the pandemic, like I had to go see my primary and, you know, I took that PHQ-9 and the anxiety scale. And it was like, you know, it was kind of shocking to look to see, you know, because I answered it honestly, you know, I basically met all the criteria that I think about for my patients. And it's like, so it's very hard to accept because obviously we think that, you know, we're superheroes, like we can do it all. And especially as a mom, you know, and then obviously me being a woman of color, I'm like, you know, there's always this, like, you have to be strong. You have to, you know, be there for everyone. And there's that expectation that you feel like you have to always meet. And I am fully transparent and open about the fact that I had to get help because I was in a bad place. And, you know, I couldn't help anyone else because I wasn't helping myself. And so I think part of how we help others is talking about our own challenges, because ultimately, you know, what most people see is the, you know, beautification of like our Facebook, our Instagram, or our LinkedIn lives, where you're only seeing the highlights and you're not seeing any of the struggles. And so I think we just need to do a better job of being real and authentic and talking about the fact that it's not all, you know, rainbows and sunshine. There are things that are going on that you don't see that's happening behind the scenes, and you're only seeing, you know, the good parts. But I do want to make sure that people understand that it is also important to be grateful and to have a gratitude journal and to talk about those little wins, because that helps with your mental health as well. But we also need to talk about things that are challenging for us, because you never know, it may help someone else because they may be going through something similar.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that we do have to do the gratitude. You just reminded me, we used to have a Friday brag day in the pharmacist moms group. And I think, you know, as you're talking, I'm like, I got to bring that back. Like, that has to be something that we continue to do. And I commend you for, you know, being open and talking about your own struggles. Cause I agree. I think that just by sharing your own story, other people can relate and can say, yeah, you know what, I've been there, I've done that. And, you know, and I'm not alone. And especially a lot of us pharmacists, I mean, we're out there, you're right, we're counseling them on this medication and on this, and this can't mix with this, but then we're like, wait, do I actually need this? You know, should I, and it's almost like you're fine with telling somebody else that they need to take it. But then when it's yourself, you're thinking a couple of times more. And Joanna, I'll let you go right into this conversation as well.
Well, I think there's, you know, a lot of points. So it's similar to as mothers, like, we can be so overwhelmed and need a break so badly. But when the words come out of our mouth, like, I need a break, or I'm whatever, we almost feel like a failure as a mom, like that reflects on our role as a mom. And I think healthcare providers may be like that too. You know, we chose this profession. It comes with the territory. We have to give. And I think just understanding that it's okay to step back and need a break, take a break. You can admit that this patient is really frustrating you, just having that safe space. I think a lot of, I know this sounds crazy, but I think a lot of healthcare professionals don't even know they're stressed. Like, they are in such a state, like, this is, in a way, their comfort zone. They've been in this perpetual state of stress for so long that they really almost need the tools to identify that, you know, this is not normal. This is not how you should be feeling. And I think, and then to you and Susie, you and Christina's point about sharing your story. I think several years ago, I had a miscarriage, and I didn't talk about it with anybody. Like, to me, it's sad, but it almost felt shameful because no one talked about it. I felt guilt. I felt all these very strange emotions. And again, this is years and years ago. And since then, I think I saw somebody get on the Today Show and just openly share their story. And I remember feeling so not alone after that. And that was probably six or seven years ago. And I love seeing how it's getting destigmatized on social media. I think people are talking about it a lot, and it really makes, you know, talking about fertility journeys. And I think we can do the same thing with this, with mental health. You know, like what Christina said, I think we all, by sharing our stories, making people understand this is normal, this is not anything to feel guilt about, shame about, inadequate about, we can empower others to seek help.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, the numbers, even just some of the posts of how many pharmacists, I was just surprised when there was a post one time and a woman posted that before she goes to work, she takes a beta blocker because she has all these heart palpitations as she's entering into the pharmacy when she knows it's a busy day, especially, you know, in the beginning of the month. And or on a Monday. I forgot what it was, but, and then there was just so many people underneath it. And I always wondered, I'm like, someone in academia needs to study this. Like, how many pharmacists are going into work and taking a beta blocker? And then once we see that, and we, you know, or we need to talk about it. We need to talk about why that's happening and what can we do to help them as a community, as a, you know, as a profession, actually, because I think we need to have more outreach to our coworkers who are experiencing stress, or to our colleagues, or, you know, to just other pharmacists as well. And that, you know, there needs to be more encouragement, maybe more things, just kind of talking about it. You know, I did that, or I went through that, and this is how I, you know, I got over this, or if I was getting nervous, this is what I would do. And, or maybe talking about a job change. Maybe that isn't the best place for you to work in, if you, you know, if that environment isn't something that you can thrive in or that you're doing well in, then maybe it's not the best place for you. There are other opportunities and non-traditional opportunities that might work better for you or for your nervous system and things like that. So I definitely think that we need to do more as a profession, really, to discuss this.
You are, and I'll say your platform is amazing for this. Even I have found comfort in a lot of the posts, because the community really does, you know, talk about, I'm feeling this way. And it, I think it makes everyone share their stories and feel less alone.
Thank you.
Can I just call out the fact that that is a hostile work environment, and that is not okay. Like, yeah. Like that's not okay. Like, it's not okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. We need to do more around workplace safety, because not only is that a hostile work environment, that's potentially a patient safety issue. Because if you're that stressed, like, what's the likelihood that you're going to make an error? And then that down, you know, translates to a patient safety problem.
Yes.
Because you, like, I want to just call that out. Like, that is,
I
want
to share, I can share something personal. I mean, my niece who went in to get her COVID vaccine, she's 5 years old. And, you know, she went in to get it. They got it. They were so happy. My, you know, my brother and his wife, they're physicians. They're, you know, oh, she got it, blah, blah, blah. Then the next day, the pharmacy calls her, sorry, we gave her the adult dose. And this was like her second one. And of course, they got it at the pharmacy. So who do they call? They call me, because I'm a pharmacist. Aren't these checked? Is anyone looking this over? Is this happening? And then I Googled and I was like, there's been over 1,000 kids who've received the wrong dose. And this is common. And, you know, unfortunately she didn't have any adverse effects, but I think that we need to talk more about patient safety. I agree in what's happening, especially with the vaccines, and it's very serious, and it's not anything I take lightly or anyone else should take lightly, because it's very serious. And I think that we need to address it and talk about it and not just brush it under the table either.
I just really feel like we need to do a better job of providing pharmacists with the tools that they need in order to be successful, right? So it's like, it's not just the fact that we're adding on more work without providing more assistance. It's that we need to give them the tools to actually be successful at the job that they were hired for.
Right.
Right. Which is not being talked about. And the only way that we do that is if we really address those workplace safety issues, in addition to the problems around workforce and the fact that we are seeing people leave the profession. I think, you know, as we move forward and we see some of these emergency declarations sunset, you know, some of these provisions are going to go away. And, you know, the average person is now used to being able to go to their neighborhood pharmacy to get all these services. So what's going to happen when those services aren't available anymore? It's like, I just think, you know, we need to do a better job of preparing. Right? So not just being reactive, but being proactive. And the way that we do that is to make sure that the pharmacist has as much support as possible and the tools in order to make sure that they're successful with the job that they're hired for. Not all these additional things that we kind of like tacked on, right? So if that's going to happen, you need to hire more staff. Okay. And we're not talking about that, right? We need to really call that out for what it is.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but I do want to thank both of you again for being guests on today's episode. We will continue this discussion. Like I said earlier, you know, on the first one that you guys were on, and we're going to continue this throughout the year. So I appreciate the time and both of you being able to join us again for today.
Pharmacists can do more if they're given more.
And if anyone has any questions, please drop them in the comments. We will be sure to answer them when we connect next time, or you can send us an email or anything. But thank you for listening. Thanks, ladies.